In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And it is caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94 WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shirt-Parks. He's with us every Tuesday at this time, brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24-7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Elliot, you know, I realized this morning, we ask Brandon Graham all the time, how does your body feel?
Well, I'm happy you asked that, John. I actually just got done working out. The alarm went off at 5:45, so I feel good. I did a little sauna, steam room. I'm ready to talk to you guys.
Good man,
that's wonderful.
So, Elliot, let me lay a little. Alanis Morissette, isn't it ironic on everybody?
Yeah.
All right. So, from last year's debacle, the Eagles were trying to move away from the way things ended, and I'd say in the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have really put that 10-1 into down the tubes in the rearview mirror to a large extent. Most of us probably haven't thought of it the last month. However, Elliot, as they get closer to last season's 10-1 record, now 8-2, ironically, it comes back into focus to make sure they avoid such a downturn. What do you think? I mean, we'll ask Sirianni in about 10 minutes, but do you think last year's disgraceful end comes back into focus for the coach and the players to say, let's make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I think it probably should. I mean, just as a warning sign to, look, last year at this time and 2 years ago at this time, we were all sitting here and saying this team could win the Super Bowl. And 1 year they made it, the other year obviously didn't. I would just say that when I think about last year, now that we're more removed from it, right, maybe there's a little less emotion with how bad that ending was, I think you can kind of just chalk it up to them coming off of the Super Bowl. And that's not to say
that. No, it's not that simple.
Well, I think it might be. I mean, look, other people, look, clearly they didn't play well, but look what's happening in San Francisco right now. They might not even make the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of teams that come off of losing the Super Bowl don't even make the playoffs. So I think last year, look, it was a failure. I'm not dismissing it. I just think as you remove it, it's pretty clear that the Super Bowl fatigue was part of it. But
yeah,
I agree with
you.
From a teaching perspective, I do think it's important to bring it up.
Hey, Elliot, so we're more than halfway through the season now. Which side of the ball is better?
Man, it's a great question. I think the way I would answer this is if every GM in the league or every other head coach could pick to have the Eagles offense or defense, I still think they would take the offense. But the fact that it is a conversation, I think is such a credit to the defense and what they've accomplished. And I think what's impressive to me about the defense is they are not a team that coming into the year, or a unit, I should say, that had a lot of players people would view as elite, right?
Right.
On the offensive side of the ball, they're just filled with them. But on defense, think about it. Jalen Carter fell in the draft. Nolan Smith fell in the draft. Zach Bond, nobody wanted to sign him. Quinyon fell in the draft. Cooper fell in the draft.
Nakobe Dean.
Yeah, Nakobe Dean fell in the draft. Chauncey doesn't feel like he gets enough respect. So I think, though, on the defensive side of the ball, the fact that they've been able to come a top five unit, like I think they're a true definition of a unit. They're not great players that make plays sporadically. They are a unit that is collectively certainly in the conversation for the best defense in the league. So I think it's incredibly impressive what Vic Fangio's done.
So how do the Eagles as a team compare to the best teams that are out there? The NFC, it would be the Lions, and then, of course, AFC at the top of the heap, the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they're just as good as any team in the league. And I understand that the Lions, look, they're playing at a high level. Obviously, putting up 52 points last week's impressive. But it is worth mentioning that if you're looking at this collection of Eagles players, right, like we're going to hold last year against them to extent. I also think you need to point out they have been places the Lions have not been. Like they have been to the Super Bowl, right? They have had regular season success multiple years in a row. So the Lions are playing really well. I think they are a great team. But I still think the Eagles have more talent than them. I think they have a better defense than the Lions do. I think that on offense they have better receivers. I think they have a better running game. And then quarterback obviously is going to be a discussion. But I think the Lions are right there, but I'm no longer at a point where it's like, well, it's the Lions and everybody else. I think the Eagles are right there with them.
Elliot, Zach Bond, it's been a point, obviously, a lot of interest in, hey, let's get this guy signed for next year. When does that happen, if it's going to happen during the season? I mean, I don't remember that stuff happening much in the playoffs in past years. Do you feel like there's a window in the next 3 or 4 weeks it either happens or it doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if it gets to the final week or two before the playoffs, you're probably not going to see it happen. I don't know how much of an urgency there is on either side. I mean, Zach Bond's price continues to go up. And if you're the Eagles, like, there's no real reason to cut the check now unless you want to try to save a little bit of money. But outside of that, yeah, I think it's something that will get done. I would be very surprised if Zach Bond is playing for another team next year. I think he's played well enough, obviously, to earn it. But we also know that when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, like, if Vic likes a guy, that really matters. And so Vic Fangio obviously likes Zach Bond. Clearly, he's had an outstanding year for him. The Eagles never let good players leave because of money. It just rarely happens.
Well, so, 2022, it happened all over the place, but that's because they had a ton of great players, and you can only keep so many. I mean,
Marcus.
Well, sure, Hargrave.
TJ Edwards.
They lost Gardner Johnson.
DJ.
I mean, Epps was solid.
Kaiser White.
Hargrave, I'll give you on that one. Yeah, but the point I'm making is I don't think Zach Bond's going to leave because of money. I would almost guarantee it.
Well, here's where I disagree with you dramatically. If he leaves, it's going to be completely because of money. Because they'll
I don't think that'll happen.
So you think Howie will do a philosophical about face with linebackers?
Yes, but I also, like, how much money do you think Zach Bond's going to get?
Oh, I think he's getting $30 million at this point.
$30 million what?
No, not. Yeah.
$30 million
I don't know. Not in a season.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I could see him getting a 3-year deal for $30 million, and that's something the Eagles typically walk away from.
He might, but my guess is you're not talking more than $12 million fully guaranteed, which is the real number we're talking about here. So I look, Zach Bond has had one really good year. He's been good for one team, and I'm not diminishing it, but these things are going to matter when you talk about free agency. All these other teams aren't going to look around and go, Zach Bond will definitely be as good here as he is with the Eagles. So I think he will get paid way more than he did, but I would be stunned if he got close to $30 million guaranteed. I think you're looking more at 12 or 15.
Okay. All right.
We'll find out.
So how good are the Rams? It feels like that's sort of getting lost. We have a game coming up, even though we've had this long break. The Rams, they're way on the West Coast. It seems so far away, but man, they're all right, aren't they?
So they're an interesting team. They're a team that's definitely struggled with injuries this year, and I think as a result, like, they've had trouble getting it going. But when they're fully healthy, they definitely have a lot of weapons on offense. You look at Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. Obviously, Stafford can be really good if he has time in the pocket. That being said, because of the injuries, their offensive stats aren't as good this year as you would be accustomed to for a Sean McVay offense. I think it's definitely a game the Eagles will win. I'm going to pick them to win the game. I do think this is probably the closest thing to a trap game they've had this year. I know we've talked about a few games this year, and I haven't really agreed their trap games. I think this one does have that component. You have a bit of a layoff coming off a big win. You have the big win on Baltimore, the big game against Baltimore the following week. And then obviously, as you said, it's a long trip across there. So I think they'll win the game, but I think this game has elements to it that make it harder than what the Rams roster might present.
All right, Elliot, final thing, and Sirianni is going to join us in about 5 minutes. He's featured in today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse. It has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. So you've been a big proponent of Sirianni for a bunch of years now, Elliot. Yeah. And with today's question, Sirianni is a blank coach. Great, good, average, or bad? I know you're going to see either great or good. Which one is it, and what's the justification from your end?
Yeah, I mean, I would go coach of the year. Like, I think he is in the discussion for coach of the year when you look at around the league this year. How many other head coaches enter the year on the hot seat and aren't in that discussion? And so when it comes to the poll question, I would say the stat that I think probably shows that he's definitely in that great category is since 2022, in one possession game, they have the best record in the league by far. They're 20-5. They've won 80% of the one possession game. That's almost 10% more than any other team. And so how do you win one possession game? You do it with time management. You do it with, like, situational football. You do it with, like, play calling, right? Yes, talent is obviously part of it, but a more part of it is situational games, as we've seen when Andy Reid was here, is game management. So since 2022, in one possession game, nobody has been better than him, and I think that speaks to great coaching.
All right. Go take care of that car, my man. Go get a hoagie.
Couldn't wait till you were done talking to open up the door.
Or get into a press conference. Whatever you got to do.
He's a busy man.
Sorry, my wife got in the car and it flipped to the Bluetooth.
But blame it on your wife. Poor Kristen. This is
right
outrageous.
I know. Hopefully my stack got through, though, because I felt I was cooking. But yeah.
Good work.
You better Elliot, make it up to her.
Elliot, stay well, my man. Nice work. Good stuff.
He's yelling at her as soon as he hangs up.
That's classic.
I was delivering a beautiful stat.
Yeah, and she's yelling right back. How dare you?
I mean, toss Ruben, me under the
Ruben
bus.
Not even
can't
you
do
would you know
no,
do that.
I wouldn't. Not now.
Devin, would that annoy you? If you're the wife or the girlfriend, would that annoy you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think working in radio, I wouldn't open a door if I knew it was going to make a noise.
Ooh.
You know?
See, you're ripping the wife. Look at that. She's ripping the wife also.
Got no better.
That's classic.
Oh, here we go.
All right,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I love it.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Very special WIP Afternoon Show all day. It is Birds at the Half, Chickies in South Philly. You can join us this evening for a special guest bartending event with Lane Johnson. It benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. That starts at 6. Ike, you will be guest bartending as well.
Yeah, shout him up!
Howard, are you guest bartending?
I'm going back to practice to listen to...
Oh, come on!
Wow.
I'm going back to the locker room and listen to Jalen's words of wisdom.
Okay, well, he wants to be insider of the year.
Make sure you ask him about the defense. That's all he cares about.
Who, Jalen?
Yeah.
He does talk about
dude. If you don't ask him about like the Rams defense, he goes. He shuts the press conference down.
He does
because he doesn't want to give an indication of what they've seen, so they know that he looks for that.
No, he wants you to ask him about the Rams.
Yes, he wants you to ask him
because it shows how much he's been studying.
Oh, and he can say he can say I respect them.
And
what an interesting answer.
Yeah, it's same.
All right,
they all say the same.
We have Baldy on the phone. Jack and Howard, the Jack and Howard Show. Every Wednesday at 4, Brian Baldinger joins us, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how are we feeling?
I feel great, guys. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game and start of week 12 here.
So, ask you about the Eagles just in a general sense compared to the rest of the NFL. They're sort of like you can do tiers with players and you can do tiers with teams. The tiers with teams, just the top championship contenders, I think you have to put Kansas City in there. You would put Buffalo in there. You would put Detroit in there. Would you put the Eagles in that same tier with those teams? Would you even put those teams in that tier?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh. Throw Pittsburgh in there. Maybe we'll see what the Ravens do against Pittsburgh, against the Chargers this weekend. There's some teams that are really coming on right now. We'll see what Minnesota does to maybe stay at 9-2 and you know, what Green Bay does this weekend against San Francisco. The good teams are separating themselves, and that's what the Eagles have been doing over the last month and a half. They're separating themselves from, you know, teams that are contenders and teams that are pretenders right now.
Baldy, we talked two weeks ago, I think. I think it was after Saquon's game with the most touches. And we were all talking about his touches per game and looking forward to next year. And you said it was a concern. They haven't really changed. Is there a certain point in the year where you just have to say as a team, look, we're going for it and let next year be next year? Or is it something that they still have to keep in their mind as the season moves forward?
That's hard. You know, it's a really good question. Because I feel like you got to go for it. Like, I feel like Saquon's going to win the rushing title. He probably is going to get 2,000 yards or close to it, total yards. I feel like, because that's what San Francisco dealt with this year. They went for it. And I was saying the same thing about McCaffrey last year at this time. And, you know, he's had a terrible offseason, and he really hadn't had a great two games so far. But they went for it. And, you know, they came within, you know, a couple yards of winning it. So I feel like you're on track. He's your best player. The team is built around his abilities right now. I say just go for it and the heck with next year.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that's where I didn't switch to as well, Baldy. A couple of weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, we got to save Saquon. We got to limit his touches. I mean, my goodness, every time he touches the ball, you think he has a chance to break a big run. And quite frankly, I think he just energizes the whole team. I mean, that's the type of special player he's been this year. I think they actually feed off of him a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Totally, Ike. Totally. I mean, you know, you've been around Saquon. I mean, he's just a really level-headed kid, but you can see the talent level is just different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. His size, his movement, his breakaway speed, jumping backwards over people in the heat of a game. Like, his talent level is just different. You know, it's just, there's, you know, I mean, AJ's got a talent level, and, you know, certain players in this league, through the history of the league, they just move different, they look different. He's one of those guys. And, you know, if you go and you go, okay, well, when are we going to limit the touches? Because, like, he's ripping these runs off against New Orleans and Washington in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But it's the touches that kind of get him to that point where he just feels it, he sees it, and then he explodes. You want to take those opportunities away and give them to Gainwell or give them to the rookie or, you know, let Jalen take them. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to turn down the chance for greatness by limiting his touches right now.
Yeah, I agree. You look at where this team is right now, Baldy. Four of the next five games, pretty tough. I'm leaving out the Carolina Panthers game. But you're talking about the Rams, the Ravens, the Steelers, and Washington one more time down there. Probably a tough stretch here. We're starting to think about the Eagles potentially getting that number one seed. How important – I know we're a long way away from that, but how important do you think that is to this team for the Eagles if we want to get to the Super Bowl? This stretch here will probably determine whether or not they get that number one seed.
Well, I think it's important to, you know, go through the gauntlet, to get tested, to go up against the best, you know, to take on the Steelers, you know, to take those teams on. Yeah. And you find out a lot more about your team in those games than if you do and you beat Jacksonville or you beat Cleveland right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to take the gauntlet on right here. It's set up perfectly. And, you know, the six-game win streak, is it a mirage? Is it real? You know, everybody's kind of, you know, gaslighting, you know, the rookies and the young players. That's all good. I mean, they've earned that. But now you're going to see, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, you're going to see a championship level defense at Pittsburgh. Like, these are good tests for the team. Yeah. And, you know, regardless what your record is against them, I mean, I think they're going to win some of the games for sure. But even this weekend against the Rams, you know, that Kyren Williams is a great back. Mm-hmm. Like, he really is. They put in the rookie center in last week. He ran the ball a lot better, you know, against Seattle. If you, or last week in the win. Mm-hmm. You know, right now Stafford's got Nacua and Cooper Kupp back. And those guys are great route runners. They're great after the catch. Like, it's good for the secondary to see a Super Bowl winning quarterback, to see a top flight running back right now. I think the Eagles are a better team, but, you know, the Rams have four young defensive linemen that are really good players. Jared Verse doesn't look like a rookie. Braden Fisk is a good player. Kobe Turner, Byron Young. They're going to see a good, active defensive line. They go and run the ball down their throats. You're going to, you know, you come away on that long flight home feeling pretty good about where you're at right now.
Brian Baldinger with us. He's with us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Baldy, when you look at Super Bowl champions in the modern NFL, let's say last decade, almost all of them have high-level passing offenses. The Eagles are sort of mid-pack. How much do you think that limits them in the quest to actually win it all this year?
They've run it 98 more times than they've thrown it. They have the highest run percentage of any team in this league right now, and they're rolling. You could say that it's a great question because I think Jeffrey Lurie, Howie, I think some of them think like this is not the way to win Super Bowls, but it's a good way to win a lot of games. Yeah. Baltimore was a little bit like that last year, and then they got into a championship level game with Kansas City, and they couldn't throw it good enough to win it when they stopped running it. So you got to be able to do both. Right now, running is winning. Lane Johnson, like I said to you last week, said we just run and hit people, and that's really good because that's what they're good at. But I do kind of believe that if you want to shut down a team's running attack, there's ways to do it. And so then are you good enough to throw it to beat a good team in a shootout or otherwise? So ultimately the answer to the question is you have to be able to do both, and you can't get far away from one or the other. Every fan in this that's a fan of the Eagles, if you come out throwing it against the Rams, they're gonna shout all the way to LA, go, what the hell are we doing? But I do think there's a time when you've got to be able to throw it, and you have to be able to throw it well, not just play action. You got to be able to drop back on third and long when you're behind in big games to win those games. So ultimately, you got to be able to do both.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother.
Look forward to it, guys. Enjoy the game.
There is Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
That Baltimore, that's a great case study.
From last year.
Yeah, from last year. And it may wind up biting them again this year if their defense don't be the reason that they lose. But last year they actually had a good defense. I'm looking at Lamar's postseason numbers from last year. 212 yards passing per game. He played two games. He threw three touchdowns, one interception. And we know the interception he threw in the AFC Championship game. He also, I believe, got sacked a couple times and maybe fumbled. So he may have lost a couple fumbles as well in the postseason. In other words, I'm saying the passing game may have been what undid the Ravens. And they were the dominant team.
And they had Lamar Jackson.
And they had Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But his inability to be able to be effective in the passing game may have cost them in the end.
Howard Eskin joining us for the rest of the hour. We appreciate you being here.
King!
Mr. King.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No.
Dr. King?
Dr. King. What do you think?
King PhD.
King okay, PhD. Yeah. Right. Dr. King, there's a different one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, he it's might not like, want to take that one.
It's like Doc yeah. Rivers not being Doc in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but there's like Martin Luther King was Dr. King. That was what I was referring
that
to.
That was the joke.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I knew that. Yeah. I was just extending it even a little bit more.
Right.
That's
good. Well, what is your Eagles obviously playing well, 1-6
yep.
in a row, dominating rush-wise. Your concern, their ability to pass the ball to actually go all the way.
I do have a little bit of concern. I think Jalen Hurts is better this year, but I'm not sure it's good enough
to win a Super Bowl. You know, you have to beat Detroit, so that's going to be a challenge. If you play them here, it's much better. They have, what, 14 games indoors. So it would be different for them to play outdoors. But and Kellen Moore kind of, well, he didn't. He brought it up the other day, and I forget what the question was, but paraphrasing Kellen Moore, there's going to be games we're going to have to pass the ball because, you know, these teams aren't stupid. They're going to, you know, put a lot of guys in the box, and they're going to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. So there's going to be games, and he said that, there's going to be games where we have to pass the ball. And he's going to have to be better. You know, it's nice he's got good quarterback ratings, and that's all good, and he's better. But I don't know that you're going to win games throwing 20 passes a game. But what the running game does, and I can see what it's doing, it doesn't force Jalen Hurts to put the ball up in the air more, so it doesn't give him a chance to make a mistake.
Yep.
Or fumble the ball if he's going to do an RPO. So there really is a cause and effect here. Hey, Saquon Barkley's terrific.
Yeah.
But it really helps in protecting, I'll say. That might not be the right word. Jalen Hurts from turning the ball over.
Well, no, that is the right word.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think in a lot of ways, the way you put it, as great as Saquon is the argument why the MVP always ends up being the quarterback.
Right.
Now, it's a regular season award, and Saquon, I think, should be considered for it just like McCaffrey was.
Well, he quit tush pushing.
Right. Well, it would certainly help his numbers. But it does, when it comes down to it, if that guy can't make the plays when you need to make the plays, how close do you think Hurts is to this is who he is, right? Like, in 3 years, how much of a different quarterback do you think Hurts would be?
Well, I saw him 2 years ago, and he was really good. So he's not back at that level yet, I'll say yet. So I think he can get better. And, you know, I don't remember all the different games 2 years ago, but he was better. He did a lot of things. I guess he went through his progressions a little bit better. He wasn't afraid to throw into tight windows. He saw the open receivers on time. I'll say on time, rather than like that interception in the end zone. Was it against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah. If he threw it when he should have thrown it.
Which
it
is just a second before. I mean, we're talking about split seconds, right?
I know. If he'd have thrown it when he was, it would have been a touchdown. But the reality is, he's got to be, he certainly has to be a little bit better. And that's why the quarterback really is the MVP of your team. If you don't have good quarterback play, it is very, very rare that you're going to win a Super Bowl. And that's why he's the MVP. I think Saquon Barkley's great, but I don't think he's the MVP of the league because the quarterback, I mean, Josh Allen, right now, I think, is the MVP of the league.
He's certainly put himself
in that spot. I mean, him and Jared Goff. Jared Goff is there, too.
Yeah, and I would put him right to 1 and 1A. You can flip him either way. But that's because they make it happen. And they generate. I mean, you saw the – and Josh Allen, it's amazing. I guess he's so big and strong is why he can keep on running without getting hurt. That 4th and 3, everybody's going for it on 4th down now. But what a big play that was. 4th and 3, not only did you get the first down, he gets the touchdown. So the quarterback in the NFL would always be considered the MVP. And as good as Saquon Barkley is, and he really is good, and he's a great teammate.
Well, the very fact that he's in the MVP conversation, and you're right, it's a quarterback award. So when a running back is in that conversation, that just shows you the type of year that running back has had.
When's the last time a running back won the MVP?
I think it was like 10 years ago.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, it was, yeah.
I think he's the last one,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been 10.
Was there
10.
Not good quarterback play that year?
He broke the 2,000-yard rushing mark.
Okay, for the first time.
So,
now,
yeah.
And it's changed some, too. I mean, I'd have to look at it, but it's really over the last decade morphed into almost specifically a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, since 2000, it was Sean Alexander in 05.
Yep.
LT in
06. LT won it, yep.
31 combined touchdowns. And then it was AP in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you got to understand the quarterback is really such an essential part.
Well, you got to have a record-breaking year as a running back
to
really get it.
Yep, and I think it does matter how many games the Eagles win at this point, because I think it's going to raise their profile. And then if Josh Allen has a couple bad games and blah, 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 blah. Well, I do wonder what the Eagles think about, because the big question is what the Eagles think about Jalen Hurts, right? We can yap about it from now until whenever. Mm-hmm. I just, at the end of the last segment, I asked everyone who they think is more likely to be with the Eagles at the start of the 26th season, Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts. What do you think is more likely?
Wow, that's a really tough question. I would say Jalen Hurts. And the reason I would say that is because you've got to get another quarterback
to replace this one.
Yeah, before you move on from this quarterback.
We got Kenny Pickett here.
Yeah, that guy.
You're kidding me, right?
He's kidding. He meant Tanner McKee.
Yeah,
that's who I really meant. Yeah. Yeah.
He's better than Kenny Pickett.
Yes, he is.
But he doesn't have the athleticism to run.
It's funny, you watch Pickett, and you're like, wait a minute, how did this guy go in the first round? Like, just your eyes.
He's got gloves on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't know that both of them won't be here in 26, but if you have to choose.
Oh, they're going to be here. I pick both.
Yeah, he picked both. He's a both guy.
Well, yeah, no.
Both going to be here.
Well, that's cheating.
And I think both are going to be here because I think they'll continue to have success.
There we go.
Yeah, but if you don't win
a playoff game. If you have to pick one.
I agree. Well, listen, if they don't win a playoff game, we're blaming somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody's getting
and you got to have. You can replace a coach, but you can't replace the quarterback.
All right.
Easily.
You're telling me Jalen's irreplaceable?
But I think they're both good, and I agree that they'll probably both be here.
All right. All week at 4:30, we are giving away tickets to go see Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center, the return of Linkin Park. Tickets are available tomorrow, Ticketmaster.com at noon, but you can win them now. It's very, very simple. You call up 215-592-9494, and we are going to play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. When the clip ends, you have to sing the next line.
Howard will sing it as well.
Howard has to sing it as well.
Yes.
He's not going to sing
it. Have a clue.
Yeah, he wouldn't have a clue. But you have to sing that. You can't say the words of the next line. You have to sing it with your gut.
Yep.
You got to really sing it the way that we sing Creed. So 215-592-9494. Buzz will pick you up. We will play you the clip, and you have to sing the next line. Again, the show is August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. 215-592-9494. This is Birds at the Half at Chickies and Pete's. Howard Eskin with us until 5 o'clock. Remember, tomorrow... Oh, no. I already said Elliot. Coming up at 6 o'clock today at Birds of the Half at Chickies and Pete's. Lane Johnson will be here to do some celebrity bartending. Mm. And the
Jordan Mailata, too.
Jordan Mailata as well. Proceeds benefit the Travis Mannion Foundation. So that is at 6. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Welcome back, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio live today from Chickies at Pete's at South Philly. Join us this evening at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. It's a great event, Birds of the Half, as we discuss a football team right now that sits at 8-2, headed for a trip to L.A. against the Rams on Sunday. And Kyle, our next guest, is with us to talk all things Eagles football at the half.
Yeah, Seth Joyner, sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com, must be 21, in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing today?
What's up, fellas?
Seth, you know, we're sitting here at the half, or, you know, kind of halfway through the season, especially if it goes deep into the playoffs, and we're looking at a team that has now won 6 games in a row. They're 8-2. Seth, when you look at how good they've become, is this now, when you view the team, the kind of year that is a Super Bowl or bust kind of year? Like, have you started thinking about the Super Bowl when it comes to this year's Eagles team and their potential?
No, I think, you know, with an analytical mind, you know, like I have, I think, you know, you just look at the team continuing, you know, to get better. You know, there's nothing wrong with the fans looking at it from that perspective. But, you know, the way the team started to where they've evolved to, and even where they've got to evolve to be able to beat, you know, the Detroit Lions football team, and where they've got to evolve to either take on a Kansas City or a Buffalo, you know, in the Super Bowl. You know, my mind is just continuing to watch this football team progress and get better defensively. I think that they're tracking in a way where they're going to continue to get better. I think they've only scratched the surface of how good they can be defensively. And offensively, you know, waiting for the passing game to round into shape. The running game is established. We know that we can get that when we commit to it. But the Eagles are going to face an opponent somewhere down the line that's going to be able to continuously keep Saquon under wraps for a game. And Jalen's going to have to put the game on his arm, and he's going to have to figure out a way to pass the ball for 275-plus yards and two passing touchdowns to get that done. I'm not worried about it because I've seen him do it before, like many people. But that's just the progression, the next progression that I'm looking for.
You know, Seth, I'm kind of curious because when you look at this defense now, do you have to look at them with a different kind of prism? Because at the beginning of the season, when you talk about the defensive line playing, the lack of the pass rush and everything, it doesn't skew like a traditional defense like the one you played on. So have you found yourself having to look at them from a different kind of perspective when you grade them?
No, because I think you have to, you know, it's so hard to compare the teams that I played on and the teams that you played on with this current team, because the game is just different, mm-hmm. you know. So they're facing a different type of offense with different mentalities, you know, from week to week. So I don't really look at it, you know, in that way. I'm just looking at it like, okay, the basic fundamentals. Okay, they're better against the run
mm-hmm.
Than they've been, you know, since they won the Super Bowl in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even that year, they were giving up 121 yards per game on the ground. Right now, they're giving up slightly over 90. I think it's like 93 yards per game. And I think they're ranked in the top three or four teams in the National Football League against the run. That has to continue. You know, they're finding ways, you know, pass rush wise to be efficient, even though I don't believe they're not a great pass rushing front. They're a good pass rushing front, but they're not a great pass rushing front because they don't have that dominant edge guy that you can count on that's going to give you, you know, double-digit sacks or a guy that you have to fear from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
But where they are better at, you know, than I've seen them in a long time is on the back end. You know, that back end has just played phenomenal with these young guys, and I think the young guys have inspired the older guys to step their game up because – you know, Gardner Johnson and Blankenship, you know, those guys have played much, much better the last three or four weeks.
Seth Joyner joining us here. It's Birds of the Half. We're live at Chickies and Pete's today. All right, Seth, you mentioned that passing game, and I agree with you. It feels like if they're going to beat Detroit, let's say, in the title game, that's the one part of the team that has to be more efficient, be better between now and late January. Seth, when you watch it, why do you think it's so much of a slog in the passing game? Because I agree with you. They have the talent, right? Jalen has done this before. They have great receivers. They have a coordinator that's done it before. So there's no reason. They have all the personnel to do it, but it's obvious they're just not a great passing game right now. What do you notice? What do you think's going on in the passing game that's holding it back right now?
Well, I think in order to be a great quarterback, you know, you have to understand and know a system in a way that, you know, when a player's called, you can tell where all five, all four, all three wide receivers are in the pattern. And I think that, you know, when I look at their passing game, their route combinations, you know, a lot of teams set up their route combinations to beat coverages. I think that, you know, when you look at our route combos are set up, you know, for specific players to win no matter what the coverages are. And I think that hurts them. The other thing, you know, I just spoke about Jalen understanding where everyone is. You know, a lot of times when you see him missing wide receivers, and I put a tweet out this weekend because I watch Lamar Jackson, I watch Josh Allen. I watched them miss receivers, not only miss wide open receivers because they didn't see him, but I saw them overthrow, underthrow, some of the same things that the local media and the national media just grill Jalen on all the time. They make the same mistakes, but they don't take the kind of criticism that Jalen takes, and I think it's unfair. But at the same time, I do believe that, you know, there are certain routes within their passing scheme that's set up for certain players to get the ball, and Jalen will stay on that route, believing that those guys will come open, even in situations where they can't or they don't get open. And now he's in panic mode and he's got to take off. Instead of just going through the natural progression, like they have high-low concepts, okay? You want to progress from high to low. And there's always a guy that's low. There's always a guy that you can dump the ball off to. But their mentality is explosive play. So they're looking for the explosive play down the field. And by the time he realizes that, and sometimes he misses that guy underneath because he stays on that deep route too long. And sometimes I just feel like, you know, he misses him, you know. So just getting him to a place where it's like, okay, I'm going to look high. It ain't there. One, two, okay, check it down, you know. Just take what the defense is giving you instead of trying to force the ball down the field, because the way that you run the ball and when you attack with the short to intermediate stuff, there's going to come a point in time where those things are going to be open, and then you attack. But they have this propensity to try to force the ball down the field in certain situations, and I do believe that it's a combination of how Jalen is being coached and his mentality to get the ball to A.J. down the field, to get the ball to Devontae down the field, rather than taking the short to intermediate stuff, the for sure layups, you know, that are right there in front of him. And until he changes his mentality about how he attacks that, the passing game is going to continue to struggle, because there's opportunities there. You just got to take what the defense is giving you and be ready to take the shots down the field when those opportunities present themselves later on. You always have to set it up. Buddy used to always tell us, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. You have to earn the right for me to call blitzes. How do you do that? You make them one-dimensional by shutting down their run game. When they can't run it, they have to pass it. Now we got them in a predictable situation. Now we can take shots. We can come after them. We can create opportunities that way.
Yeah, it feels like a fine line between the short stuff and then and taking those shots down the field, and they got to find it. Seth, last one for you while we have you. Need your reaction to the latest story that came out yesterday with the Sixers, Joel Embiid. I mean, you lived a life in locker rooms. You've been talking about stuff that comes out in locker rooms since. Seth, what's your reaction to what happened the other night where a teammate, Tyrese Maxey, called Joel Embiid out on not being on time and not doing everything the team needs him to do to help them? It felt like a big thing, and then obviously it leaked out, so we got a chance to react to it. What does that say to you that it got to that point?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, because in my opinion, I think that, you know, the organization has been empowering Embiid to be who he is and how he is for a very long time. You know, when you got a 7-footer and he refuses to get down on the blocks, to me, that's problematic. Because as a coaching staff, you're the one that's drawing up the plays. You're the one that's in charge. Who's the adult in the room? Tell him what you want him to do and make him do that, you know? So when you look at – when you over-empower a player, you know, the negative effects of it is way beyond, you know, what you can imagine, you know? So when Tyrese says, okay, you know, this is what we need to do, come on, you're supposed to be the leader of the team. You're the face of the franchise. You're supposed to be the first guy in the room at every meeting. You're supposed to be the first guy at the shoot-around. You're supposed to be the first guy. You lead by example. If you're the leader, those are the things that you do. You know, but when you've empowered him to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and then you wonder why this team has faltered over the years, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Coaches always talk about it's the small things, the small things, the small things, the small things. All those small things add up to big things. So all of these little small things that they've empowered him and allowed him to do are leading up to where this basketball team is right now. And I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, listen, I love the Sixers. I would love for them to, you know, have success. I don't know that it's fixable, Joe. I really don't. You know, because at this point in his career, if he doesn't understand something that minuscule as far as how that affects the rest of the locker room and all the other players to see the leader not leading by example, when is he going to get it?
I don't think he – Seth, I'm with you. I don't think he is. I mean, at some point, you are what you are, and you are who you've shown to be, which is a talented player, but one that obviously the little things that the champions do, the Kobe's did, the Curry does, LeBron does, he doesn't do them, unfortunately. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next week before Thanksgiving, hopefully with a 9-2 football team. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Have a good one.
There he goes, Seth Joyner. Hugh, I agree with Seth, and we –
Bam, bam, bam.
What are the people more revved up for, Sunday Night Football or booing Embiid tonight?
Sunday Night Football.
I think so, too. But
yeah, Sunday Night Football.
Could get loud tonight. Joel Embiid introduced after a week of nonsense. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giuliano, coming your way in a minute. A third clue for Hugh's Clues here. $50 gift card to the Melting Pot. Before we get back to the phones here and discuss all things Eagles and Embiid, and your guest is here for Hugh's Clues, let's talk about Jalen Hurts for a second, right? Mm-hmm. So we know he's going to be fine. He's going to play Sunday. Full participant yesterday. He had the maintenance with his ankle earlier this week. We don't know if Devontae Smith is going to play, so we'll see if he has his full complement of receivers. But what are we expecting out of Jalen this Sunday, Hugh? This is a little reset. It's a 10-day, you know, in between the two games, right? It's not a full bye, but it's kind of like a little reset. After the first, the real bye, he's played better. But we still see some things in the passing game that aren't great. Are you expecting big things this week? This is an interesting challenge, because you mentioned it a lot today. That front for the Rams can get after the quarterback. Are you expecting a big Jalen game Sunday?
When you say big, I want him to be more efficient. And I know that, you know, earlier in the week when I said that, a lot of fans like, what do you mean efficient? Efficient is better. I get what you're saying. But let me try to give you an insight of how I feel about that. I want Jalen to get the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. And not take those sacks, because I feel like I look back at that Dallas game, and if they had a better quarterback, Dallas, that is, we probably that game would have been a lot tighter. I feel like with our first quarter woes, that there is potential, especially with this defense of the Rams, where they could capitalize on mistakes if we make them. So when I say efficient, I want Jalen to not, if the play is not there, just get rid of the ball. Don't give them opportunities. I don't want to see any plays where there's potential for you to turn them over and put them in scoring position.
You mentioned the sacks. And when I hear what Irving Fryer said about Jalen earlier this week, I feel like it's the most under-talked about thing with the Eagles and their offense this year. They take too many sacks. And I don't think we talk about it a lot because they don't throw it a ton, right? It's not like he's dropping back 50 times, so there's 7 sacks at the end of the day, and we talk about it all week. But they do take a lot of sacks compared to how many times they actually drop back. The only starting quarterbacks in the league taking sacks at a higher rate are Will Levis and Caleb Williams. And if you go back the last like 30, 40 years in the NFL, it's tough to find many quarterbacks that win the Super Bowl getting sacked at this kind of rate. That's one thing I'm looking for, Senna. Get rid of the ball. Don't take the sacks. And just, we could use your word today. We could go efficient today. A little more efficiency in this passing game. Let's hear from Irving Fryer. He was on the morning show earlier this week. His thoughts and what he sees with Jalen.
But one of the things that I see with Jalen is in his throwing is that he lacks the ability to throw the ball in tight spots when you need to have zip on the ball, when you need to throw the ball on a rope. Perfect example, the Diggs interception with Dallas. I think the week before, Cincinnati was 4th-and-3, and he was trying to throw the ball to A.J. Brown crossing the field, and the ball, it needed to have zip on the ball, and I think he lacked, because he almost, when you watch his motion, he almost kind of winds up a little bit. He throws a great deep ball.
He does.
Throws a slant.
Boy,
throws
he does.
A slant good.
Yeah.
Those short passes, because he's only throwing the ball about 12 yards, you know, from where he's standing to where he's got, where the ball's got to get to. But when the receiver's 15 yards down the field, 20 yards down the field, and you got to throw that ball on a line, because the moment of separation only lasts for a second. And you got to get that ball in that hole, in that space, right now.
Hugh, what do you make of that? I mean, I think he was referring to the interception against the Cowboys where Diggs took it in the end zone. I think Jalen has the arm to make plenty of throws. He throws the ball deep down the field really nice. It's a matter of, like, the tight window, the quick ones, and if he holds it too long, that's when someone
jumps
in.
It almost feels like he doesn't have the confidence. I know another guy he took care of the football. Donovan was kind of like that. Donovan never really put the ball in harm's way. And a lot of times when you have quarterbacks that play that way, they miss opportunities, because there's a lot of times when I hear other people talk about Jalen and some of the throws. I think it was Greg Cosell said it a few weeks ago.
He needs to see it.
He needs to see it a little bit earlier. And I think part of that is because he doesn't want to put the ball in harm's way. He doesn't have confidence in it. Now, flip side of that, Brett Favre, if you look like you were open, he was throwing it.
Well, and that arm he had.
And he had a hell of an arm. Maybe Jalen doesn't have that kind of confidence, but you're going to have to take chances sometimes. And, you know, I know that in the NFL, a lot of the DBs are fast and they react very, very fast. But there are some plays that I feel, even I feel as a defender, defensive lineman, that you could probably make a little bit early and give your receivers the opportunity to make some even bigger plays.
Look, I think we all want an easy win Sunday. I actually think Sunday could give us a good picture of what really is going on here, right? If the Rams get up a touchdown or their pass rush is going, like, you know, how do the Eagles respond in a game like that?
Well, if I'm being honest, it's strategy. Because there's been a lot that has been made about Coach Sirianni's coaching acumen, the guys that he has, and I know Vic Fangio has done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But offensively, what does this mean? Because there's the potential for the conversation or the narrative to be that he got out-coached. Because Sean McVay, at one point, everything he touched turned to gold.
He's a tremendous coach.
He was an innovative coach. You know, young man. He's like in his mid-30s, if I'm not mistaken. He's not that old.
No, he got the job at like 30.
Yeah. And so he's not that old. And for him to accomplish as much as he's accomplished in a short period of time, there's going to be an element of coaching, I feel, that we're going to look at and be like, hey, you know, that was probably the deciding factor in this game. I feel like that's going to be the case.
We got a Devontae Smith update.
What do we got?
No sign of him in practice again. Seems unlikely he'll be ready for Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if he misses all 3 days of practice, he's probably going to be listed as I would think, doubtful, and then that usually means out in the NFL. So we'll get the final injury report, but reporters saying he's not at practice, that obviously impacts the game and the game plan and the passing game.
That makes me really nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Now you being nervous.
I think we're all plant-based now.
Now you being plant-based.
Well, I mean,
I think
it'll be
realistic. Yeah. We're losing one of our top players on offense.
Oh, but no, when I said it a couple weeks ago, don't worry about it. We're going to be all right.
Because you're plant-based.
Okay, gotcha. It's the messenger. What did I just tell you about the messenger?
When football guys say things like Kyle and I,
you're
people
telling
hear.
Us to kiss the messenger's ass.
What did I tell you about it? I didn't tell you to – no, I didn't say – that's what I would do.
No, you're saying put hands on people.
No, I'm saying
you
that's
are supposed
like what
to be
saying.
PR.
No, that's what Joel.
Joe.
Listen, this is what's happening.
Don't start.
No. Joel Embiid has made it seem like by him looking for, because he's actively looking for the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, once you find him, then what? You go shake your finger at him?
I have an idea. Stop looking for him.
How about look for the win column? They're 2-12. I don't want to hear about some witch hunt. I mean, this is ridiculous. 215-592-9494. Let's tell you how it happened. All right, back to the phones. But first, Gio, people need a third clue. This is you called it today. This was going to be a challenging one.
Yeah, I told him this was going to be challenging. So you want this third clue?
Yeah, give it.
Listen to what I'm saying because, you know, it might help you out a little bit. This person was in a relationship with Tom Hanks. In a movie.
Okay, so they got three clues. Actor with a wide variety of the kinds of movies they were in. Second clue was Kyle did not know who this person was. Third clue, this person was in a relationship with Tom Hanks in a movie. Right? That's it? Those are your three clues? All right, there it is. Clue number three in the books. Bilal is up next. Hey, Bilal.
Oh, hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Oh, man. Damn. That whole Tom Hanks and relationship just threw a whole wrench in my pick.
Tom Hanks been in a lot of movies with a lot of leading ladies.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so I'm just going to go with this one since I just watched it. Hey, what is her name? Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Catherine?
Oh, you just going straight for the...
In the Terminal.
Oh, the Terminal was an interesting movie. That is, well, that's not the answer, but it's a good guess. All right, what are you thinking on the Eagles-Rams?
Oh, man, I feel like we're going to smoke them this week. This is going to be a game. We're going to have a special teams or defensive touchdown this week. Eagles going to win
35-14. I like that. A blowout. Yeah. There we go. All right. Yeah. And you agree with me? This is a must win, right? We got to get this thing.
Oh, no. It's definitely a must win. Yeah, we got to secure first place. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we take care of business. See, Bilal gets it. Yeah, he gets it. They're going to win the game. Must win. He's not plant-based. I mean, he gets it. Unlike some people around here.
Nah. I mean, I'm just saying, I assess the situation and I look at the potential pitfalls. That's all I did.
You know, when I do that, I'm a hater. When you do it, you're plant-based.
No, I'm still a hater. No, yeah. I'm ridiculous, so I don't know what I'm talking about. Or I'm nervous. So it's about the same.
Both of you are just total dope.
That's every day, no matter what.
I would wear that. I'm going to have to go ahead and wear that hat today.
Total dopes, the WIP
Especially
mission.
After what you just did. Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to know but us.
I screwed everybody up on this.
You won't.
I apologize.
I think there's going to be an apology issued at 1:53
Well,
today.
Technically, it ain't my fault.
What?
Whoa.
I'm blaming somebody else. It's not my fault.
The caller?
Hell.
Yeah, it's the caller's fault.
Oh, I don't think that's that. What an
don't like listen,
Joelle
I'm,
Douglas is I'm really just saying, moving
don't,
up the
don't assume here. Don't assume anything. Just you know, it's, just be keep your mind open. Right. I apologize. I ain't apologizing.
Bobby in Buckingham is up. What's up, Bobby?
What's going on, gents?
What are you thinking, Bobby?
I don't want to talk about the Sixers. That's for sure. I really like this Rams matchup. I think it's going to be a close game. I think we're looking at like 23-20, and it's going to come down to a Jake Elliott field goal.
Do you feel confident in that? Jake's not been in a good way this year. I mean, typically, like over the last 5-6 years, Bobby, you say that, I feel great. But you say that now, and it's like, I hope Jake's ready for the moment.
Well, if you look at a lot of the kickers have been missing chip shots or, you know, easy make field goals. So I wouldn't put it all on, you know, him. He's been around the league.
Well, it's crazy, Bobby, with that. Justin Tucker, who's the best kicker I've ever seen, he's been bad this year. It's like even he's not making his kicks like normal.
Right. So, yeah, I think our corners are going to match up. It's going to be a back-and-forth game, as it should be. And I think everybody's going to be tuned in for a good game.
Well, Bobby, I hope you're right. Close win, I'll take that. Art, what are you thinking for Hughes Clues? Who is this actor?
Meg Ryan,
the guest. And that was when he brought this up, Bobby. That's not it. But that I knew that would come up here, right?
Meg Ryan.
You associate Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They were in a couple. They were in a few together, right? You got to associate those.
Oh
two.
Yeah, that's right. They were, and the ones they were in, I haven't seen any one of them.
No,
I can't think of a Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan movie that I've seen.
I think one was You Got Mail.
Haven't seen that.
And then I'm trying to think was Sleepless in Seattle.
Haven't seen that.
You've binge watched Tubi series, but not seen those two.
I'm not a big fan of the rom coms. That's not my.
Yeah,
that's not my genre.
I guess that's
the only one that I remember. What is it? Is something about Mary? That was pretty funny.
With Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
He just came up a few minutes ago.
Yeah, with Brett Favre.
Yes, and what's her name? She kind of disappeared.
Cameron Diaz.
What happened to her?
She got married, I think, and had some kids.
I guess that happens to a lot of
actresses. I don't know. I might be wrong about that. I don't know if she got kids or not.
But she was a big deal in the 90s, and
that thing faded.
I was talking to Jamal in Philly. What's up to Jamal?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Not much. I was trying to do the actor, but I know I'm not going to be able to figure that out. So I guess I'll just answer the Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I don't think they should boo him. I mean, Joel Embiid is who Joel Embiid is. He plays hard on the court. If your co-teammate call you out on being on time, then we got to wait for the response. If it's like your supervisor will call you out for being late, now what are you going to do from that point on? Are you going to show up on time or not? When it comes to snitch, you want to know if a coworker told the supervisor that you was late? What is it? When it's supposed to be a team meeting, once they get outside, it was no longer a team meeting. You know, within you know the closed doors.
I think Jamal's on the boat that I'm on. You got to put hands.
No.
You got to put hands on.
You
got to
handle like a grown up.
I mean, that's normally what you would like to do, but you got to put hands. You got to put hands on a coworker though, man.
No, don't fight and don't. You know, definitely.
I ain't say fight.
Are you speaking from experience now?
No, I'm saying this is what this is.
Get in trouble for this?
I did. I'm just saying. For Joel and B,
stop recommending things that you got in trouble for.
No, but for Joel and B, that's what he's trying to do. So I'm saying that it's his only recourse. Me personally, I'm not going to do that. I've learned my lesson. But he get one. Joel and B get one.
You'd be the worst PR guy in the history of PR guys.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
He's not looking to fight. He's looking to see who cannot be trusted. Within the confines of where it should
be. Well, he already knows somebody can't be trusted. Why
he's looking for a foxhole guy.
Why do he need to know that who the person exactly is? I would look at
it like. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
If somebody told y'all producer, whoever is in charge, I know y'all lenient with the work y'all do, but if somebody said, hey, you were late today, and then they called and, Hugh, you're late, and you'd be like, how do you know?
Somebody told me it was bad about me on
the just did this yesterday.
Hold on a second. What am I supposed to say? You're not here.
Jamal, they told on me yesterday. What are you talking about?
Well, y'all got that kind of relationship. Plus, you rich, and nobody really cares if you're late. And
yes, they do.
Why don't they care?
You know what? Listen, Jamal, let me tell you. I work in an environment where it ain't too many of people that look like me. Being a black man and being late to work, that's not a good look, man. I can't go out like that.
No, I got you, but I bet they couldn't say that you was not there. They didn't go and, you know, you was late to try to get you in
trouble.
No, dude,
let me tell you. The minute I knew I was going to be late, I got sick to my stomach because I just was like, damn, black man being late to work, that is not a good look. It's just ain't a good look, dog. It ain't a good look. And that's not what – that's not – regardless of what I used to do for a living, that is not a good look.
I mean,
and
to
that's
be fair,
not how
it,
I want to be portrayed.
It wasn't like you overslept. You had car issues. That happens to everybody. It wasn't like when DeCamera overslept on the midday show. I mean,
I was still late.
That's all right. All right, Jamal, what's your guess? Who's the actor?
I wouldn't be able to get it. I was going with Denzel, because I tuned in late, and all I heard was a wide variety of different type of genres and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right.
So I would have went with Denzel.
All right, Jamal. We appreciate the phone call.
Not a problem.
Jamal doesn't want to go out the boot tonight. I just want to say for Hughes Clues, you got to think outside the box. It might not be what you picture right away.
Yes.
But if you think through.
If you know me, you would think through this.
If you think through some major roles, you will kind of land back to this.
I'm trying to help you.
I'm just trying to bring us back to. I want people. This is a good one.
And it is a good one.
I think that the visual in their head might not match the actual answer. So just take the visual out and just think to the roles. Think to the big movies over the years. Jimmy in West Philly. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jimmy?
Doing well. Basically, I'm feeling good about this game. I mean, I know it's a home away from home game, but, you know, at this point in the season, you know, I'm liking the continuity of the defense. They're showing me that they're definitely growing together. They're gelling at the right time. However, you know, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not looking too far ahead, but I would like to see more Will Shipley over Gainwell just to try to get his legs ready for the playoffs. And I feel like he could be an addition to the exciting whites.
Yeah.
You know what, Jimmy?
It'd be three of them.
I like Shipley in training camp. I thought he had some burst, and then he had that run against the Bengals.
I love that name, exciting
whites. Yeah, there's the exciting whites.
Awesome. Wow. I like that.
But, Jimmy, the Bengals run he had that got called back, I think he could play a little bit. And as the year goes on, I think it'd be a good thing to keep Saquon a little fresher so we got him good for January. I'm good with that. Gainwell some carries, Shipley some carries. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it with the three-headed monster like what took us to the Super Bowl with Ajayi, Blunt, and Clement. You know what I'm saying? It's just Shipley.
I'm okay with that.
He will be that rookie addition. You know what I'm saying? We already got two veterans and a rookie. Let's let them roll.
Let the young cats play.
And Clement was a big part of that Super Bowl. When I heard him yesterday with the morning show, I was like, man, it's like you forget he had 100 yards receiving in the game. He was a big part of things. Jimmy, what do you got for us? Who is the actor he was thinking about?
All right, well, I'm going to say like this. See, that's the thing. You guys are kind of tricky. You're saying actor, but then, you know what I mean, it could be an actress.
It could be, or
it could be an actor.
Yeah, it could be. And I know an actor that has played on a couple switch-up roles, and I'm going to go with Rames.
Bing Rames.
Oh, okay.
Holiday Heart. That's what you're talking about.
That's
exactly.
Holiday Heart.
Jimmy,
yeah,
fun answer.
He played a few switch-up roles, but you know.
Yeah. That's a good, you know what,
though,
Jimmy, that's a really, really good answer.
Not it, but I think that's a good answer. All right, before we go any further, let's do a little Q&A here on a Football Friday.
Yes, and Q&A is brought to you by the Jug Handle. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the Jug.
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Q&A on 94 WIP.
In your face, Kyle. How about that?
Always believed in you.
No, you didn't.
Nope. I heard Jalen the other day. He was talking about how the time off between last Thursday, right, and now this Sunday is almost like a mini bye. Is that I know you didn't play in an era where you played a lot of Thursday games, but you played a Thursday game. Is that true? Does it feel like that, or is it?
You
not?
Get a respite.
Okay.
You get a respite. You get you get a chance to spend time with the family, just relax, watch a couple of the games, maybe do some scouting, if you will, but just unplug from football just for a little bit. So, yeah, it's like a mini bye. Just take a little bit off your body. But the one thing about it, you don't want to get too far away from being ready to play football, because I used to hate that too. When those games that you have off, and like you might have a day or two off in practice, you want to kind of stay in football mode, man, because the worst feeling in the world to me was going back out there and just having that felt like you were out of shape, because it don't take that long to get out of shape. So just feeling like you were out of shape, that part, I didn't like that part too much.
All right, second one I have for you. So this is going to be a storyline after Sunday night. I can hear this already being talked about.
So, Hugh, after they get home from L.A., right? They're going to play the game Sunday. They fly home. Mm-hmm. The Eagles don't get on a plane again until the postseason, right? Their road games after this are a short bus trip down to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They'll probably take a train down to D.C. That's it, right? The other games they have are at home, and then they should have some home playoff games. That gets brought up a lot. They don't have to get on a plane. Is it hard on a player's body to travel a lot during the season, plane rides? Or is that just something we say, but it's like it's not that big of a deal?
No, it is, because I remember sometimes when you get on planes, especially guys that are a little banged up, you swell up. And that's why they give you compression sleeves and stuff like that to just keep the swelling out of your body and things. So, yeah, it's different when you don't have to do all of that, man, the air compression and all of the good stuff. Yeah, so that's great. That this would be the last time for a while that they have to get on a plane.
Yeah, I mean, if the Eagles play it out well and they finish the season winning the division, I think the next time they'll get on a plane is probably the NFC Championship game in Detroit or the Super Bowl. I mean, that like after Sunday, that's it.
That'd be cool, yeah.
And we had something similar to this in 2017 where they didn't get on a plane, you know, after early December for a while. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V!
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, Big V. What's
going on, man?
Hey, listen, Big Hugh, you know I love you because we're going... Now, heading to the Big Easy, the Super Bowl with the 50-50 on the road.
Yeah, that song.
Yes.
Yeah, that song. But listen, first, Hugh, you know I love you.
Yes.
But you're being plant-based.
Everyone hears it.
Every time I've been called plant-based, I got you.
Because you get a little scared. Look, you got the new place to go. There. Buy a dog. Feel secure.
Big V, how am I being scared? Like, seriously.
No, you're not scared. You're scared.
I'm scared. Well, okay. Well, how am I being scared, Big V? How am I being scared, man?
About this Rams? Really? Come on. You think that we can't beat them?
Big V, I never said that. I said this could be a problem.
No, go back in the Odyssey app. You'll hear at 10 o'clock Hugh said he had nightmares all week about the Rams.
all the
running
nightmares.
Running up and down the field.
Just
waking
running
up the rough cold
shot
sweat.
All about the over these young Thundercats. Yes.
Here, Hugh, if a team, you being a former football player, is giving you nightmares, third.
I like how y'all turn this and put it on me. All the time. Every time I sit here and I give you these great analysis, then all of a sudden I'm afraidy cat.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes.
Welcome to Philly, buddy.
I mean, don't you know this by now? If
I'm not on board, I'm afraidy cat. Okay,
and if I am not on board, I'm a hater. I mean, that's
how it works.
If it looks like a cat, it runs like a cat.
I got you, Big B. Uh-oh.
Okay, before Joe cuts me off, and Joe, listen, I got to say this to you. I was wrong about you. I love you. The way you handled that guy talking about Embiid was classic.
Well, he needed to hear that because he was in la-la land. I did stand up.
He stood up.
Hugh gets actually scared when I stand up.
He's a little nervous when you stand up because he means business.
Big V, what do you got a guess for us, too, for Hugh's clues?
I'm going to say Robert De Niro.
Give us another one. It's been a guess before. I want you to get another guess. Pretty famous actor.
Famous actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Billy Dee Williams.
You know, I like me some Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, Billy Dee, I didn't hear what he said.
Especially them Colt 45 commercials.
Yeah, that's a good guess, Big V. That's not it, but a very good guess. All right, Big V, we appreciate it. All right, we got 1 hour to go. We have a $50 gift card to give away to the Melting Pot. We need the correct answer. We may have to start giving out, like, clue 3.5.
Yeah, I can give you a half a clue.
Well, I will just say somebody.
So someone has it?
On the phone lines.
Okay.
Has it.
They do?
Someone's thinking outside the box.
Okay,
someone's
yeah.
thinking back to cinema, not just what's in your head. Like cinnamon.
Cinnamon? What'd you say? What'd you talk about?
Cinema. They're thinking to the actual movies, the roles.
I was somewhere else. My bad. Don't even ask me what I was thinking about.
I'm looking at a free.
When you said cinnamon, I'm like, hold on, wait a minute.
Say synonym. Cinnamon, synonym, and cinema. 215-592.
Hey, you're almost out of work, buddy.
94.9. Oh, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it.
Synonym. It's always, why I always like this on a Friday, bro, this time?
I don't know. All right, well, guess it takes for next week coming up. And there is a lot of chatter about something big happening in Dallas. We think we need this to happen. We'll hit that next. All your calls as well. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, it's never too early to start planning for your Thanksgiving gathering. So if you got your shopping list started, move Hatfield pork to the top of the list. Now I know what you're thinking. Hugh, you're kind of crazy. But I'm not. It's not about the turkey this year. It's time for something different. So bye-bye, turkey. Put some pork on your fork. Hatfield variety of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon ham, and ham steaks are all main dish contenders this year. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. And remember, this Thanksgiving, put some pork on your fork.
Let's talk to the legendary Eagles coach, Dick Vermeil. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. As we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cake studio, we are at Borgata on this Football Friday, getting ready for the Eagles and the Rams. And, of course, Coach Vermeil is brought to us, as always, by the great people at Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals. Means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. I got to thank Coach Vermeil because when I saw him on Tuesday night, Coach, you spent a lot of time talking to my mom and my brother and my family, and I want to thank you. That was very kind of you.
Well, I was surprised to see them there and delighted. Yeah, your mom's a saint.
Thank you. And Dick, you yeah, said agreed. Something. You said
you ain't
something.
Kidding.
Well, thank you, Dick. You told a story I never heard before. So you were in a race car with Mario Andretti, and he cranked it up to what, about 170, 180 miles an hour?
Yeah, probably averaged four laps at about 185 on the Pocono, you know, that Toyota two-seat Indianapolis car.
That is wild. John, around the turns.
I can't even imagine.
Not just the straightaways, around the turns.
Yeah. So was it impossible to hold your head up against that sort of force?
No, I sort of knew what to expect, you know, having been involved in always interested in racing. I sort of knew what to expect. But that Pocono racetrack, in fact, they don't even race there anymore with the Indy cars because it's so dangerous because they go so fast. But he took me in four laps with the Toyota double-seater, and it was one of the exciting things in my lifetime.
That's amazing. Incredible. It really is. So Dick, we want to get to a lot of Eagles and Eagles-Rams with you, but I actually want to start offbeat here today because, you know, we love to tap into your acumen as the coach. And the Sixers have a heck of a problem with Joel Embiid. Just typically not in a good enough shape, and we certainly believe his approach to the game hasn't always been wired the right way. And with the thousands of players you've coached, I'm sure you've coached, you know, some knuckleheads and some guys that aren't totally locked in. How do you handle it as a coach when you have an athlete, particularly if it's a star athlete, who's just not giving you all that you want? How do you deal with it? How do you address it?
Poorly. You know, I was never really faced with that situation. Maybe one time a similar situation where I had to cut a first-round pick from the year before that they had drafted at the Rams before I got there, and I cut him during the middle of the season. In football, there's so many guys involved team-wise, and there's so many players you have to win their confidence and their structure and their discipline. If you don't handle it properly, you lose them. You know, believe it or not, players on teams want discipline. They want structure. They want to be pushed and a lot demanded from them. And when they see the superstar not getting that and being treated, it's a negative through everybody's attitude. And you have to have the authority as a coach, in my feeling, at least in my era, to make the decision to get rid of them.
Yeah, now
I don't
think
you can do that in the NBA. It's a totally different world today.
It is, and a top 10 player in the NBA, you can't shake a tree and get one of those guys. So it is tricky, but they got to do something different because it's just not working well. So Dick, let's talk about the Eagles. They're humming 8-2, 6 in a row. The one area they're not humming though, the one area, is offense early, first quarter, oftentimes second quarter until near the end of the quarter. Do you have any theory on why they struggle offensively early and what Sirianni and Kellen Moore can do to try to jumpstart them quicker on offense?
You know, I have a theory, but it's not backed by facts, okay? I think sometimes in my own career when we struggled in the first quarter, the new addition adjustments that we put in the game plan that we hadn't been using the weeks before sometimes were not as executed as well as I would want them to, and they weren't as good as I thought they were going to be, so you're not as efficient in the first quarter. I think, and the other time, sometimes you get away from the base of what you've been good at all along early in the game because you're playing a different opponent, and you maybe overestimate what they know about you, and you say, well, we can't be doing this
because we've been doing it all along. They'll take it away from us, and you end up hurting yourself. You know, I think you really got to search the first 15 plays that you're using. And I know I've made the mistake myself many times. Sometimes you get too smart in game planning and forget what you've been doing well when you were moving the ball well. And you give the defense too much credit.
How good a coach is Sean McVay? This is a major measuring stick in my book. I love our defensive coordinator. You know, Vic Fangio, he's done so much. We talked about the statistics, Coach. Our pass defense this season compared to last season, it's just night and day. But now we face an incredible game planner in Sean McVay. How do you see that all shaking out? How good is McVay? How does Vic Fangio match up?
McVay, Sean himself, is an excellent football coach. I've watched him practice on the field. I've seen Saturday practices before the game, and as good as you can see on the football field. You know, Sean does a great job. Now, remember I said this. My computer has said had predicted four times that they were wrong. Three of the four times they predicted them wrong, they predicted them lose and win. And all three wins were against good football teams. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you've got to give him credit. You know, they were predicted to lose to San Francisco 49ers. They won. They were predicted to lose against Minnesota. They won. They predicted to lose against Seattle. They won. You can't allow that to happen this Sunday. Yeah. You know, my computer says the Eagles are going to win by 9. But if anyone's going to upset him as an offensive football coach, it will be Sean McVay. But I'll tell you this, I don't think he's faced a defense equivalent to what Vic Fangio's defense, the Eagle defense, is right now.
Yeah. It's so tricky, the uniqueness of the McVay offense. Have you seen, I don't know, the motions that he employs, you know, when he utilizes these guys, snapping the ball when you got a wide receiver in motion and it puts him inside the actual tackle box. You know, yeah. Puka Nacua is releasing from between the tackles. It's just such a unique take on things because, you know, now it's, is he a linebacker's job? Is it, who's covering where? And it's just a unique perspective on football. And I appreciate that so much, Coach. How much room is there in professional football for this type of creativity?
There's always people that are going to come up with something a little different and gain an edge in doing it, and gradually it'll fade away because the edge disappears. The defenses catch up. Mm-hmm. Vic will have them extremely well prepared. Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay together do a great job of throwing the ball to receivers on the move, moving upfield. So their gain per catch is accelerated. I mean, they're many times they're running upfield. And they do a lot of crossing stuff that I've seen. You know, I haven't seen them like the Eagles defensive staff been watching them. But Stafford can throw the ball into areas some quarterbacks can't throw them into. And yeah, they have those young receivers that do a great job of receiving. Plus, you know, those receivers do a good job of blocking. They ask them to block.
They're so tough. Yeah, receivers. Yeah.
Hey, Dick, one of the topics we got into earlier this week on the show was, again, reevaluating the Eagles' offseason approach, namely what they do in August leading up to the season. And John is still holding by. He doesn't think they do enough to prepare. James and I have been saying for a couple of years now, well, they pretty much always get off to a great start. This year, again, 8-2. And they do, in recent years, have had good luck and or they've created luck by not being much injured. And maybe that goes to their approach of not wearing the guys down in August. You've been pretty hardcore for years that you'd like to see teams practice more in August. Are you amending your position with the Eagles when you see them have the success they have and generally be pretty uninjured? Or do you still think they should drill down more in August?
You know, I've always said this, that football is not a contact sport. It's a combat sport. And you have to be prepared for combat. The only way you can prepare them for combat on a consistent basis is work them hard and have periods that it's very tough and intense on the practice field. I'm old-fashioned. I think Vic and his approach with defense, and I think they've worked harder. They took a little different approach.
A little harder.
I'm no expert on what they did. But it can't hurt, and it may help. And I don't think you can go on the practice field every day worried about getting somebody hurt, because that's when you do. Mm-hmm. That's when you do get them hurt. Exactly. You know what? Also, guys, you know, the game is played standing up today. You watch the games. From the old days, they're all, you know, they're in three-point stance. They're bent over. Their shoulder pads are low. They're using their shoulder pads and helmet to block with. And now they all stand up and chest block for the most part. Now Detroit's different. A few other teams are a little more old-fashioned in their style. But it's still, you have to prepare them for contact on a consistent basis. And I made mistakes by not backing off toward the end of the year, and I made mistakes by working too long on fundamentals and not enough on addition to scheme offensively, because gradually they just figure out what you're doing and whip your techniques with their own defensive schemes. So, I've seen it all, but there's no substitute for hard work.
So, Dick, you said your computer's got a 9-point Eagles win. What's your personal prediction? Eagles, Rams, Sunday Night Football, what do you see happening?
I think it'll be a good football game. I think the Eagles will beat them, but I think they're going to have to play well. Play very well to beat him. But again, McVay has a way of playing better against better teams. Okay, he's more apt to lose a game that he should have won. So I think they've got to go in there mentally prepared for a tough football game.
It's the Eagles and the Rams on Sunday, and of course with Thanksgiving coming up next week and Christmas and Hanukkah and all the great holidays up ahead. Great news if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can order some delicious Vermeil wines to get shipped directly to your home. Makes for a great gift, makes for a great party gift, or, of course, just to stock up for the winter. Get Vermeil wines and visit this website, vermeilwines.com. That's vermeilwines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Coach, wonderful seeing you on Tuesday night, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Oh, and by the way, Coach, we will not talk to you next week because we're going to be off on that Friday. Let me wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, Coach.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach. All right, there he is, the legendary coach, Dick Vermeil.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Friday at 4, we are joined by former Rams quarterback Ron Jaworski. You can see him on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show with the...
Spike. Don't take that, Jaws. Don't take that.
You got me early, man. You got me early, Spike. Thank you.
Well, you know, we're playing the Rams. Yeah. So, Jaws, first of all, Bryce Huff put on IR, but more interestingly, I think for this particular weekend, Devontae Smith just ruled out for Sunday night. How do you think they adjust with Devontae out? Is it as simple as putting Dotson in a spot, or do you think it changes the game plan at all?
Well, nothing is simple when you lose a guy like Devontae Smith. He's a game breaker. He's a guy that stretches the defense. He's a guy that takes the top off the defense, so there's the underneath lanes open for everybody else. You know, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, those are the guys that catch balls underneath because A.J.'s clearing out. He kind of does the dirty work, so you know you're going to miss that type of receiver going against this Ram defense. By the way, you know, I've been looking at this Ram defense and actually the whole team on tape this week. This is going to be a tough game. Anyone just looks at this, say, oh, they're 5-5. Look at their record. This is a good young football team, well coached, with a quarterback by the name of Matthew Stafford, who's got a Super Bowl pedigree. So, you travel off to the West Coast, long flight, a lot of distractions. This is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I think everyone has sort of come to that conclusion that this one, we're almost hitting. Yeah, man, I wish we played the Rams in like week 6 rather than now, because them getting healthy and sort of putting the season together, and a veteran team that has been there before and a desperate team, it is setting up for a tough game for the Eagles.
I think desperate would be a very good word, but actually defensively, I've been impressed with what I saw. They're a very young football team. And the youth has probably hurt them more than anything because they find themselves out of position. But they're not good enough to just line up, like, say, the Eagles defense, you know, with our interior guys and go head-to-head with anybody. They do a lot of slants, stunts, twists, try to get people clean to the quarterback, clean to blow up the running game. And occasionally they make a lot of great plays in a row. Then they get beat because they get caught in the wrong gap. They overrun a play. So, you know, once they get more mature in playing together, which they now they're 11 in the game, they're 5-5. They are getting better as the season goes on. So you got a young team that took the Detroit Lions into overtime week one. So
yeah.
You know, they have the talent to make plays. They're much healthier. You know, you got Puka Nacua back and Cooper Kupp and Tutu Atwell are all guys that can catch the football, and you know they'll present some problems in the short quick passing game because that's what Matthew Stafford likes to do. So it's going to be a test.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the matchup, Jaws. These Rams offensive skill position guys with Stafford going up against this Eagles defense, particularly our secondary, which I believe has been playing like the strength of the defense. How do you like this matchup and sort of how you see it matching up?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think this is one of those games you want to see where we are. You know, we've been beating up on some, and let's be honest, you know, not some of the cream of the crop of the NFL.
Sure.
And not that the Rams are, but, you know, they're a good, solid football team. They're well coached. They won't beat themselves. You know, offensively, I think we'll move the ball. I mean, our offense is just outstanding. But what I said a moment ago, what we have done with our offensive line, we just, you know, you can't play us man-to-man on the defensive line. We will win. If they didn't think they could line up and just play us that way, it's not going to happen. So when you look at how they play, they want to run the football, and they can run the football. They'll want to play action and short passing game. But this will be a good barometer game, I think, to see really where we are and maybe how good the Rams are as well.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about those wide receivers, Jaws. Kyren Williams is a pretty damn good running back there for the Rams. Good matchup of going up against our front seven linebackers, Jalen Carter, that defensive line. How you like that?
Yeah, no question. I mean, Kyren Williams is a good running back, but and they have. I kind of thought as I've watched some of their tape, they abandoned the running game too early.
Okay.
I think against this Eagle defense, you have to stay on schedule. You start getting into, you know, 3rd and 7+ when the defense can dictate to you. Vic has been very good and creative in what he does. So I think if there's something I see with the Rams, they're throwing the ball about 60% of the time, running only 40. We're almost vice versa, that or more. You know, we're running it more than 60% of the time, throwing it, you know, a lot less than the Rams do. So I think it's one of those games where, you know, our defense should be able to hold them. I think the Rams will try to control the football and keep the ball away from Jalen and all the weapons. And they're going to blow some plays up. As I said a moment ago, the slants, the stunts, the twists. You know, they're going to get Saquon a few times in negative plays, but if the Eagles are smart, and they are, they will continue to run the football like they have been.
Speaking of running the football, Joss, have you given up on the idea of limiting Saquon touches, thinking about next year? It seems like everyone was on board with that a few weeks ago, but that everyone sort of, you know, put their hands up and say, well, we don't know how else to make this offense go.
It's like I was never in that camp.
Okay.
You'd like to keep the guy healthy. You know, you kind of limit it in certain situations. But I think when you got a bell cow running back and how this team has responded to him, the fact that his offensive line went in and complained and said, hey, we want to run the ball more. Look at the running back we have. What are you guys, blind? Let's, you know, make him the bell cow. Look what this offense has done since he's been touching the ball 20-plus times a game. They've been just shredding people, you know, with that offensive line and Saquon running. So, you know, he could fall off the elevator, getting in the hotel, and anything can happen. Injuries can happen. I'm not for, hey, let's hide him. You know, that's what usually when you get hurt, when you start protecting yourself or your running back.
Do you think the Eagles can win throwing the ball the amount that they throw the ball? And when I say win, I don't mean Sunday. I mean, you know, win, go all the way.
Yeah, I think they can, but I think what we have seen, they're better when they're balanced. When, you know, when the play action game is available to him, when Jalen is taking more snaps under center, when he's throwing in known situations, he's not. You know, it is so much easier to play quarterback when it's 3rd and 3 rather than 3rd and 10. You know, the defense dictates on 3rd and 10. You know, it's tough to play quarterback when you're running the football well and staying on schedule. Man, it's easy. Maybe easy is not the right word. Easier. It's easier when you got 3rd and 3 as opposed to 3rd and 10. So I like when this offense stays on schedule and the bell cow with Saquon running it helps Jalen out.
So, Jaws, Daniel Jones got released. The Eagles took a chance this year on a former first-round pick in Kenny Pickett. You know, would you – I think it's very unlikely it would happen during the year – if you were the Eagles, would you look at Daniel Jones as a you know, a reclamation project in the offseason as a backup quarterback? What do you see in him as a quarterback?
Well, we got Kenny Pickett, so I'm very happy with the situation right now at quarterback. Kenny's a very talented guy. You know, he's in a very good situation. He's in a very good offensive team, a very good football team. His opportunity, it may never come here. It may come here. It'll be an injury to Jalen. But if Pickett has to play, there's no doubt in my mind he can play. I loved him when he was coming out of Pitt. He was just in a bad situation in Pittsburgh, the way their offense was constructed. He's now in a really good system right now. So I think Pickett is a rock-solid backup. Daniel Jones can play in this league. He was, again, in a bad situation. And for quarterbacks, you know, it's so important that you get in a quarterback-friendly system, you know, where people understand the quarterback position. And I think both Pickett and Daniel Jones got in bad situations. I think they're both talented guys.
All right, Jaws, we need – now, you've already foreshadowed you think it's going to be a tough game. But we do need the official prediction for the WIP afternoon show for Jaws for Sunday night.
Now, I'm on a roll, as you guys know. You know, I think I got one loss in the last game. I'm hitting it pretty good right now. I like the Birds to win this one 27-21. But it'll be a good test. I'm looking forward to this kind of game. And it'll be more Eagle fans out there than Rams fans. But it'll be a tough environment still. I'm looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah.
All right, Jaws. Well, sorry about the Rams line. I just, you know.
Hey, it was a good 4 years.
Yeah, yes, sir. Ron Jaworski, you can see him on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game shows, and then with us every Friday at 4. We appreciate your time, Jaws, as always.
All right, brother.
Be safe.
Yep, take care.
That does suck with Devontae, but hopefully the hamstring's tricky, and the fact, honestly, that he has played the last two games with him popping up on the injury report, at some point... With a hamstring, you're just going to have to get him some time where he's not running.
Well, and here's the crazy thing. I don't think he got many touches in the Dallas game. So he went two games there where he didn't really touch the ball a whole lot, that Dallas game or Washington game.
Yep. He's been a decoy.
Yeah, kind of. Like, kind of more of a decoy and just being out there trying to push through it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a tough stretch now. To have him without it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's just this game, but you never know with a hamstring.
Yep.
You know? And at this point, they have to just, he's got to be healthy.
Oh, yeah, you got to get him ready for the stretch run.
At this point, he's just got to be right.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Ernie in Norristown. You're on WIP. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, I wanted to speak to Spike. I just saw a tweet he just put out about 3 hours ago. I thought it was kind of ridiculous.
What was the tweet?
Well, what'd you say?
I sent a bunch of tweets.
In four seasons, you said Wentz has zero playoff wins, 48 regular season fumbles are going on to trash him. I was confused because did I wake up in 2021? I'm confused why that was put out today.
So it's just for anyone who is not aware of this, I understand the confusion. When the whole Wentz Foles thing was going on, there was one guy who would respond to every Carson Wentz tweet with that thing. And then it just became a thing that people started saying. And I was talking to Elliot about it this morning, and I thought it would be funny just to post it with no context whatsoever.
So I apologize, Spike. I was going to get all fired up.
No.
We don't disrespect Carson Wentz on this program.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very funny tweet. The tweet goes this way.
No, it's actually not funny.
Yeah,
not funny at all.
It's not funny at all. Yeah.
Well, for those who don't know it, this is what it is. In four seasons, and this was 2020, I assume. This is right around when it was, or 2019.
Yeah, it probably would have been 2020.
Yeah. 16,
2019, yeah.
Yeah.
So in four seasons, Carson Wentz has zero playoff wins, 48 regular season fumbles. He is 7-20 versus teams over 500. He has no heart, no desire to win. His teammates hate him. He has started 5-6 in three of his first four seasons. The Eagles are 24-6 in their last 30 games with Nick Foles. So it was just it was like an inside joke for the people who get it.
Well, no, I apologize now because I have egg on my face for even.
No,
don't worry, Ernie. Yeah. I did the same thing as soon as I came into work.
I'll be honest with you guys. I still like Wentz. I still hope he's doing good.
Man, you know? Dude, you're talking to the right
don't
show.
Don't worry, brother. He's coming back. Just be patient.
I got my hopes up.
That's right. LTBB, we ride forever.
Yeah.
And I saw Wentz warming up on the sidelines. It brought me back. But it'll happen one of these days, hopefully.
This is really... Yeah, I might do that.
Well, that's going to be you when Carson eventually gets in there.
Yes.
Who's more likely to play for a Philadelphia team again, Ben Simmons or Carson Wentz?
Oh, God.
Thank you for the call, Ernie.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, it's
Carson. More likely Carson.
Can I say this? I think you guys have had an effect on me. You, most people don't know this because I was not on the air at the time.
Yes.
But I was very negative on Carson very, very early. Very, very negative.
Seems like a trend for you.
Was never a Carson. It is not a trend for me.
Well.
It's a look. I'm
don't
either
worry, in, don't get sidetracked.
I'm either in or out on guys, and I was out on Carson. And some of Ike and I used to argue about basketball very early on. Some of our deepest arguments were Carson Wentz related, so much so that we stayed away from them most of the time.
Yeah.
But I would say this. Given him being humbled in the league, going to Kansas City, a lot of times for not just for athletes, but for all of us, it takes getting into your 30s, having things not go well.
Yeah.
Look, I lost my job. I was unemployed for 6 months, and it made me a different person afterwards, too. So I would say this. I was anti-Carson. However, if there were an opportunity for him to be a backup quarterback with the Eagles, I would welcome it, and I wish him well.
No, I would not want him here as a backup quarterback. No. No.
Well, I hope he gets a chance to play somewhere and play well.
I don't need you guys that are Carson haters.
I'm not a hater anymore.
Well, no, yeah, you are. To do the whole he's back here as a backup and this and that and the other. No. Be a backup somewhere else until he's a starter. The great thing about the NFL and football, there's enough bad quarterbacks. He just needs to hang around long enough. He'll get a shot again.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he'll get a shot again.
Maybe he'll be the next Kurt Warner.
Could be Kurt. Geno.
Geno Smith, there you go.
I mean, no one would ever thought 5 years ago, Geno Smith.
No.
Not only did he become a star, he got an extension out there in Seattle.
It happens. He'll play somewhere. And playing for Kansas City in that infrastructure, I think if he does well, Andy Reid is a guy who wants people to succeed, he became a second chance. I mean, that's why we ended up with Michael Vick, and not that Carson and Michael Vick are similar, but second chances nonetheless.
He did it with Foles, too.
I think he would advocate for Carson Wentz for another team if that team had a question, if he does well there.
That's actually a great point about Foles. People forget how bad Foles was in St. Louis and with the Rams, and then he wound up getting to Kansas City and sitting there. He came here. He was a different quarterback when he came back here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pat in Denver, you're on WIP. A Creed hater, Pat in Denver.
Yeah. Oh gosh. If I sat down to a restaurant and Carson Wentz was my waiter, I'd roll my eyes.
Okay. I mean, well, what does that mean? Well, it'd be weird. He's an NFL quarterback, you know.
I don't want to see Carson Wentz. He should be out of the NFL.
Why should he be out of the NFL, Pat? What did he do that he should be out of the NFL?
He hasn't done anything in his entire career.
All he's
done is upset his teammates and not win.
Well, how's he still in the league, Dan?
Anyway, I was at the game in 2017 when he blew out his knee.
Yeah, what'd you think then? Did you start tearing up a little bit?
I cried like a little baby.
Yeah, of course. Okay, yeah. Yeah, sounds like he did something then.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jack,
you picked the wrong show.
You let out a little sigh every time you pick up the phone when I call.
In my defense, I do that for every caller.
Okay.
He probably does do that for every caller.
No, it's nothing personal.
How's it sound, Pat? How's it sound when he says hello? Is that how you're answering the phone?
Most of the time, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'll actually say this.
Not that bad.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get on Pat in Denver's side for a second here.
Why? Because you're Twitter beefing with him?
No, because he's an anti-Creedsman, but I'll be on his side. Saying hello, he sighs. Jack's a bad say goodbye on the phone as well guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
I talk to Jack every morning, but like in my drive-in, and I go, all right, I'll see you in a bit. And I'm like, all right. It's always like a sigh when he says goodbye.
Yeah, well, my dad, I'll sigh around my parents. Oh, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm just a Simon.
I'm a Simon.
Spike, where did you find Nick Costos, by the way? Is he from like the 1920s, like newsreel guy?
I love the guy, by the way. Nick is a real New Yorker, but Nick
for sure.
Yeah, Nick has been a betting guy for a while, but we hired him here at Odyssey probably 5 or 6 years ago, and now he hosts You Better You Bet, which is a giant betting podcast, and he's doing great. So we love having Nick.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love every time he's on. Do you guys know that Pound Town is the dollar store in the UK?
That makes sense.
No, I did not know that.
Is that real, or is that just a joke?
Every time I go to UK, I go to Pound Town. Yeah.
Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby.
Is that you and Tornado Shapiro? It's European vacation?
Yeah, me and Tornado. If you guys didn't dump Tornado, I gotta up my game here. So, yeah, of course.
You definitely don't have to up your game. No, yeah.
Your game is fine.
This is a trap game in LA. I'm terrified, and I don't think they're going to win this Sunday.
Why are you terrified?
You have to watch Saquon. I'm terrified because Matthew Stafford's going to expose these young cornerbacks for being rookies, and you know it happens. So this might be the game.
Okay. Spike,
yes.
I'm in pain. All my friends are in pain right now.
Okay.
Because of you.
What did I do now? And you're complaining about everybody here. What is your...
We're all in line.
Yeah, what did I do?
No, I love Ike. Ike is on point with the Daniel Jones.
Here we go. Again, we get
he's
it.
He's in
all
a
right?
bad headspace. Yeah. Joel Embiid and the process, man, this is 10 years.
Can I tell you something, Pat? You can complain about Joel Embiid. You can complain about Joel Embiid. The process stuff ended 7 years ago. They won 52 games in 2017. It's been a long time since they had a roster full of undrafted free agents and second round picks. And it was 100 years ago. It was four GMs ago, three coaches ago, 7 years ago. None of the players are the same. The process, it ended when they fired Hinkie. You all got what you wanted. And truthfully, the result of it is your fault. It is not the process's fault. It is morons like you, no offense.
We love Pat.
Morons like you, morons like my father, morons like Mike Lombardi, who are all like, oh, the guy in his basement. I bet Sam Hinkie played more football than Mike Lombardi did, to be quite honest with you.
Sam Hinkie played football?
He did. He played in high school.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, where'd you get that at?
No, he was good.
No, I'm saying you said that out of nowhere. And
there's
I'm like,
no way he was good at football.
He was.
What do you mean?
It's as likely as you being good at baseball.
Well, it's first team all league.
Yeah, he's first team all league.
Okay.
Yeah, you think say what was it you think Hinkie was? The tubby offensive lineman?
All I'm saying is that the tie from today to the process is ridiculous. There's been more non-process
basketball
people here.
Yeah.
As soon as they won 50 games back to back, that part's over. It's gone. So let it go. All right. Speaking of let it go, this is our last pair of Lincoln Park tickets.
All right.
We have one more pair. So Lincoln Park back in Philly, August 16th, Wells Fargo Center. We have one pair to give away, one final pair. You just have to sing for them.
Are we going to that concert?
If you want to go, I'm going. You want to go?
Well, if you go, I'm going.
Yeah, Lincoln Park shows are good.
It's in August?
August 16th, yeah.
Yeah, what else am I going to be doing?
All right. Jack, show trip.
Where is it?
Lincoln Park, Wells Fargo Center. All
right. Yeah, it's right down in South Philly. Remember where Wells Fargo Center is at, man?
Yeah, come on, man.
We'll see. Yeah.
I don't want you to go.
We'll see.
Anyway, pair of tickets.
I got Phil's baseball.
We will. There's 162 games, man.
I don't care.
Okay. So.
He's so telling the truth.
We will play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. When it stops, you have to sing the next line. It's very simple. You get the tickets if you do it correctly. So call 215-592-9494 for your shot to win. Also coming up, Tommy from Down the Shore and your calls on Saquon, everything else, how much you hate us. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.